This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
What's up? Happy Friday. Welcome to another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com, the program. As per usual, it is produced by Michael Cohen, and a massive program forthcoming here as we kick off the Labor Day weekend. It's kind of quiet out there. It's kind of a little bit of a vacation mode, which, by the way, I love. The NFL kind of implemented this a couple of years ago with their last CBA. Let's get the cuts out of the way well before the Labor Day weekend. Let us enjoy that weekend. And we will, as we chop it up here for the next 60 minutes, we go around the league with your news and notes of note. Again, I said it's a little quiet out there. We'll talk, of course, Micah Parsons, have a couple of other tidbits, and we'll crowbar in this very first segment. This should be draft weekend. I think we should make it an annual tradition, maybe even a countrywide holiday. Labor Day weekend should be reserved for barbecuing, relaxing, and drafting. So I will pop out my favorite picks for each round, and I'm going to go 18 rounds with this puppy real quick. I probably won't be able to include a ton of analysis, but, you know, it's kind of an interesting exercise. Every round has a couple of picks that I like, but I had to pick a favorite. And then we'll also obviously talk NCAA college football here. Big weekend forthcoming. Josh Chevalier of Fantasy Points College Football will join us. He's got three really good props that he is all in on here starting tomorrow. And I will pop out my tight end props for the upcoming campaign as promised. Then we'll chop it up. We'll have some fun with our guy, Trey Camberling from the Best Bets podcast over at fantasypoints.com. He is kind of known for basically real long shots. I mean, he loves the long shots. So he's got some interesting selections. He'll join us in about 40 minutes. We'll chop it up with him. And then we'll end the program with my plan of attack and my player targets at the tight end position. And by the way, if you missed any of the programs this week, we rejoined VSiN on Monday for the entirety of the season. But Monday we covered Monday we talked big picture. Monday we talked quarterbacks. Tuesday we went over the running backs. Wednesday was wide receivers. And then today we're going to be doing tight ends. No, Thursday was wide receivers. Sorry. Tuesday quarterbacks, Wednesday running backs, Thursday wide receivers. Today it's the tight ends. All right. Well, the top story of the week, the year, the decade, perhaps the millennium, Micah Parsons traded to the Green Bay Packers. Big deal. 4 years, $188 million. I don't really need to get into all the weeds in terms of you never trade away a young franchise edge rusher, you know, a young player who's a major, major needle mover, all that good stuff. Who knows what Jerry Jones and the Cowboys are thinking? They do get Kenny Clark back and two first-round picks, of course. So they're kind of, in my opinion, in rebuild mode. And this certainly, well, let's look at the Cowboys. You know, this certainly, like I said yesterday, even before this news dropped, Dak Prescott, his right arm may not make it out of the season because it's going to be very, very busy. So that's the big takeaway. I mean, if you're looking for something to get behind in terms of the Cowboys, it's the only thing is that Dak Prescott is going to be attempting a lot of forward passes this year. So certainly fine with CeeDee Lamb at his ADP. I like George Pickens. I also like Jake Ferguson. I'm not officially calling him a target, but I do have a Jake Ferguson prop. I also think, interestingly enough, the Packers do play the Cowboys in Week 4 on Sunday Night Football. I also do think, and you know, this is maybe a little out there, but I'm a big Jordan Love guy. I was last year. I actually was the year before. So I do believe in Jordan Love, but I don't know if Jordan Love is the kind of quarterback that you want dropping back, you know, 40 times a game, playing from behind, slinging it all over the field. So I kind of like getting Micah Parsons because, you know, edge rush has been an issue. Lucas Van Ness was a number one pick of the Packers a couple of years ago. He's kind of been underwhelming. I like getting Parsons to improve that Packers defense as it relates to Jordan Love. Yeah, maybe the attempts won't be great. He'll have to be efficient. But let's just simmer down. Let's calm down. Let's stay ahead of the down. And let's dictate to the defense with a balanced attack with Josh Jacobs. And Jordan Love can do plenty of damage. He'll run a little bit more this year. You know, the guy did throw 30-plus touchdowns a couple of years ago. Now, I will say, before we get all excited about Green Bay now being the favorite to win the NFC North at plus 165, well, I disagree. I do like Green Bay. I picked them before the trade went down to make the playoffs as a wild card team. Oh, by the way, not for nothing, but yes, I am a Vikings fan. But my first thought when the trade went down is, oh, they're scared. They're scared. The Vikings go out and they get Adam Thielen. They have the best offensive line they've had in at least 10 years. By the way, they have arguably the best pair of bookend tackles in football. So they are equipped to block and contain Micah Parsons. But, you know, they add Adam Thielen. They have the best receiving core in football. If I'm just trying to put myself in their position, if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I'm looking over at those Minnesota Vikings saying, they're really good. Let's compare the receiving core. Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson versus Jaden Reed, who we don't even know if he's going to play week one, the rookie Matthew Golden, Romeo Doubs, who kind of wants out, and Tucker Kraft. There's absolutely no comparison, quite frankly. So I do not agree with that. The Packers being the odds-on favorite, but hey, you do you out there. If you agree, go ahead and play it. But spoiler alert, we might get into the Minnesota Vikings and their odds to win the NFC North before we sign off. Yes, we are going to do that, by the way. Let's move on here. Jason Light in Tampa said that Chris Godwin is likely to return week 5 or later. Now, I don't know why they don't just put him on PUP. Maybe I guess they think there's a chance he can return earlier. It's a little weird. Let's not also forget that Tristan Wirfs is also hurt. So I'm just pointing this out ahead of the most important weekend in the history of fantasy football in terms of drafting. And I say that every year because it's true. Every year it's bigger. So this is the most important weekend in the history of fantasy football. So I just want to point out that, you know, maybe I don't draft Baker Mayfield because we might not have our left tackle. We're not going to have Chris Godwin. And I know Ibuka is balling, but he is a rookie. Jalen McMillan is hurt. I do like Mike Evans. He's going to get fed the ball. But that is – oh, and Cade Otton's also hurt. And Baker Mayfield's the 7th quarterback off the board. I've always been a Baker person, but I'm not taking Baker Mayfield with these issues right now. And by the way, the schedule is not wonderful to open up the season. They got Atlanta week 1. Okay, that's good. But then they're at Houston. It's the best pass defense in football. Then they're against the Jets. They're very talented back there. And then they've got the Eagles. Not good. That is not good. Sean Payton, by the way, as we move along, says Marvin Mims will return to the field on Monday. That's good. He's kind of penciled in as the number 2. And then Kendrick Bourne to be alive, who I am a big fan of. I always have been. I think he's a very good player. He's just not that flashy, but he's good. He will visit the 49ers on Monday and the Commanders on Tuesday. Niners are just adding up on receivers. They are very, very concerned about their depth and all that. But, hey, he knows the system. That's where he came from, Kendrick Bourne. All right, before we take the first time out, most important weekend in fantasy draft history, let's take a look at my favorite picks in each round. I'm going to have to go through this fairly quickly, but we'll start with Ashton Jeanty at 12. And I don't like to recommend consensus first-round picks just because they're so obvious. So the reason he's my favorite pick is because he's the last pick of the round. And if I'm on the hook there, I might take Jeanty and team him up with, like, a Brian Thomas, who's a second-round pick, and that moves to our second round favorite pick, and that is Brian Thomas or Nico Collins. I like both of them a lot as like major alpha go-to guys, end of round 1, early round 2. Chase Brown, one of my favorite picks, period, because I think you can hold down the fort at RB1 with him, and you can get him in the third round. Omarion Hampton, I know Najee Harris is trending toward playing actually in week number one, but Hampton's gotten a lot of reps with the ones. We're looking good there. I like Hockenson in the fifth, Calvin Ridley, Major Alpha in the sixth. Same team. I like Pollard. I'm not going to take both guys back to back, but I do like Pollard quite a bit. Great O-line, Tajay Spears on IR. Jalen Warren, I'm still sticking and staying. I'm not overly enthusiastic, but eighth round pick for a guy who I think he'll lead the backfield's not bad. Ricky Pearsall, great ninth round pick, really good. Then I'll go take a shot with Zach Charbonnet. I think they'll be run heavy. It's not a bad 10th round pick. Brock Purdy, we're holding off on quarterbacks. I like him in the 11th. Josh Downs, really good player. 12th round pick, that's a good RB4. Darnell Mooney is a good RB4. I like him in the 13th. Jordan Love, I still like Love. How about Rashad White? They're going to need him in Tampa, I believe, in the 15th round. Brenton Strange, you're going to get a lot of volume there for the Jaguars. I also like Josh Palmer and Ollie Gordon. Going to get some touches week one for Miami. We will talk with Josh Chevalier, a little college football propage on the other side. But the VSiN NFL betting guide is updated and ready for week number one inside the NFL betting guide 2.0. You'll find postseason team updates, proven betting systems, contest strategies, and host bets. Best bets for opening weekend and beyond. Get access to this and the college football betting guide for as little as $9.99 for your first 30 days. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to see which subscription works best for you. We'll talk college football propage on the other side. Hang tight. This is a Friday edition of Prop Points on VSiN.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Huge weekend in college football, and we're back with another segment here on this Friday edition of Prop Points. I am John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. Without any further ado, we're going to go over to the progressive guest line, Josh Chevalier of FantasyPoints.com. College football. We follow him on the X machine at CFF Guys, doing fantasy for college, doing propage, and he's back. What's up, Josh? I know you're on the road. Thanks for finding 10-15 minutes. I know you've got some winners, but how are you? How was the off season?
Yeah, man, it was good. I'm excited to have college football back. I can't believe we have three top 10 matchups this weekend. Starting the season off right.
Yeah, and we do have a game tonight, and you do have a prop tonight. I don't know if you know this, by the way, but because I do my research, all three of your picks, all averaged, and they're all receivers, over 16 yards of reception last year as freshmen. So I did find that interesting. Yeah. And the first one playing for Auburn tonight is Cam Coleman, a big dude, 37 grabs last year. He scored 18 tutties, 16 yards per reception. We got a number here, 65.5, pretty big number here, but 16 yards a catch last year helps. But what do you see here?
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that coming into last season was a really high-end freshman and ended the season really well too. I mean, in his last three games, he averaged 7 catches for 102 yards. In each of those games, he went over at least 78 yards receiving. So this just feels like a great line. I mean, 67.5 yards is pretty crazy, I think, for this matchup. I mean, you talk about a Baylor defense that was struggled a lot against the pass last year. So a guy like Cam Coleman coming in, it's pretty crazy. Another interesting thing with Cam Coleman is that Auburn went out in the transfer portal and got another guy named Eric Singleton. They paid like $1 million+ to come in, and he's going to be limited in this game. So this really is going to be the Cam Coleman show in this game. So we're expecting this over. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he hits this by halftime, to be honest.
Yeah, I see the projection's 88.5 yards. I mean, just doing some quick math, that looks like 35% or 40% over the prop. Let's move on to the big game tomorrow, Texas versus the national champ Ohio State Buckeyes, and you are into another receiver who is a sophomore who averaged over 16 yards a catch, and it's Ryan Wingo, 51.5 receiving yards in the matchup. What is up with Wingo?
Yeah, well, we definitely have a theme going here. This sophomore wide receiver class is pretty incredible. They're going to be the gems of the 2027 draft class for sure. And Ryan Wingo is at the top. He was a guy that played a lot as a true freshman last year for Texas. They really like him there. When Arch Manning played, which he did play in a few games, he got a couple starts last year, he did target Ryan Wingo quite a bit. And so this is clearly Arch Manning's favorite target. He's going to try to go down the field, and Ryan Wingo is going to be that guy that he's going to really go after. Look, this is from all reports this offseason. Ryan Wingo is the Texas wide receiver one, and it's not even close. So they actually brought in another guy named Emmett Mosley in the offseason from Stanford, who did pretty well last year, but he's hurt right now. So it's Ryan Wingo, DeAndre Moore in the slot, and that's pretty much it. The other thing that I thought was pretty interesting was Ryan Wingo got a LASIK surgery this offseason, and they said they say his tracking got better on his deep balls. And so we're expecting Ryan Wingo to hit that. Look, this is at 51.5 receiving yards. We have him projected at 65.7 at fantasy points. So, again, we feel like this is a pretty comfortable number. They're going to have to throw the ball against Ohio State on the road, and I like Ryan Wingo to go over.
Let's wrap it up here with, hey, look, you can't go wrong with Miami tight ends, I guess. And, you know, they've been lucrative producing them in terms of NFL prospects. Elijah Lofton only caught 9 balls last year, but, of course, he did average over 16 yards a catch. Not related to James Lofton because I looked. But what do you see here with Elijah Lofton?
Yeah, you know, Elijah Lofton, I mean, they call him the Swiss Army knife there at Miami. And when this prop came out, it came out, I think, at 23.5 receiving yards. It's up to 24.5 now. Look, every fan site and Discord that I'm on with Miami, and I'm a Miami fan right here, but look, everybody's like, this prop is way too low. And so, look, Notre Dame runs a lot of man coverage, and they're going to go after, you know, on the outside. They're going to try to shut down the wide receivers. I think that's going to funnel a lot of targets inside Elijah Lofton. They're going to try to get him in some double screens, some inside stuff. I mean, he's a yak monster. I don't know if you remember Brevin Jordan in the league for long time, another Miami tight end. But that is who everyone compares Elijah Lofton to. So you're talking about a kid that all he's going to need is one or two catches in the game to really go over, because he's going to be able to get the ball and put it downfield pretty easily.
Josh Chevalier joining us on the road, multitasking on the X machine at CFF Guys. Check out fantasypoints.com if you're interested in playing in college fantasy football. Some of the best minds in the entire industry there on the website. Thanks a lot, Josh. Enjoy the opening week. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, thanks, Josh.
There he is, Josh Chevalier of Fantasy Points College Football. Well, we still have a few minutes to play with here in this segment. And as promised, we're going to roll right into my tight end props that I'm into this year. And I poured over all the data, all our rankings to pull out the best ones. Let's start with Sammy Laporta, over 675 receiving yards. We over at Fantasy Points are projecting over 20% more. Banged up last year. It was a little bit of a lost year, but once he was healthy, his route participation shot up to 77%, which was 2023 neighborhood where he had the big year. And he finished last year in the fantasy playoffs with 3 straight weeks as a top 6 tight end. So I like that. Love Tyler Warren, man. Just absolutely love him. There he is on the list, over 575. Now, I had this in the VSiN betting guide about 6 weeks ago at 500. And baby, it's been bet up, but I still like it. How about that? We're over at Fantasy Points projecting over 13.6 more. I mean, this guy's a stud. I think Rob Gronkowski and George Kittle, like if they had a child, he might be Tyler Warren. Coming off one, arguably the greatest season for a tight end in college football history. All apologies to Brock Bowers. And I like him teamed up with a Danny Dimes. You know, here's one for you. Dallas Goedert. I don't even like Dallas Goedert that much. And I'm 35 spots over his ADP. Second among tight ends last year in yards per route run. Hello, they didn't really add much. I know they added John Metchie, but, you know, this is a concentrated pass target group, and Goddard's the third option. And by the way, I know the Eagles ranked only 31st in pass rate. That they're going to have to throw just a little bit more this year. I like Trey McBride to go over 4.5 touchdowns. Why? He's due. McBride only had 2 touchdowns last year, 15 end zone targets over the last 2 years. On average, tight ends catch a touchdown on 46% of their end zone targets. So regression is coming with Trey McBride. Just get 5 tutties because he's probably going to catch 100 balls again. Mark Andrews, over 600 receiving yards. I like it. We're projecting 20% more. He led all tight ends in average separation score per Fantasy Points data the last 2 years, which tells us he can still play. And we're projecting 20% more production in terms of the yardage. So that's a pretty good number. And oh, by the way, Isaiah Likely, very, very iffy. I will also look at George Kittle, over 900 receiving yards, unbelievable efficiency, 11.8 yards per target. He averaged 73.7 receiving yards a game last year, which is absurd. I also like Laporta, over 59 receptions. How about Njoku? I know they're talking up Harold Fannin, the rookie who's going to play a lot in 12 personnel, but you cannot break the bond that Njoku has with Bro Flacco. In their 7 games together, 8.7 targets. He's averaging 7 catches, 93 yards per game. Do like Njoku. And I also like Jake Ferguson, over 550. Again, Dak Prescott is going to have to throw a lot of passes. We're going to take a break in a moment. Troy Camberling will give us some long shot plays. But as the official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with proprietary AI handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. First Bet's in-app tools give you win, place, and show probabilities for each runner so you can quickly and easily identify good plays and improve your ROI. Just in time to take advantage of their limited time $250 sign-up offer for the Pacific Classic. You can claim your bonus using the promo code VSiN250. First Bet app or firstbet.com, code VSiN250. Back after this next.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. We're going to go right back to the progressive guest line as promised. Trey Camberling of the NFL Best Bets podcast that he does with Joe Dolan and the grinder Tom Brawley over at fantasypoints.com. He is on the Twitter/X machine at Trey Camberling. And if you are in need of a large infusion of cash, he does have some big time, certainly risky, but some big time payoffs with these, what do we call these, Trey? Long shot plays. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Yeah, on the podcast, I'm doing great. On the podcast, we call them my slop. That's what Joe likes to call them. But I also did want to say I love your tight end plays here with the way the league's going, yeah. the two deep safeties and abandoning the hip drop tackle. I think overs on tight ends is the way to go. So I'm a big fan of all the overs on the tight ends. Yeah, we call it my slop. And, you know, I don't have to be the guy that's on my P's and Q's because you know Tom Brawley handles that. So they give me the runway to kind of spread my wings and come up with some crazy stuff. And I've got a few of those plays for you today.
Well, we did talk when we were talking tight ends in that last segment about David Njoku. And I don't think you can stop the budding friendship between Njoku and Bro Flacco. I don't know if you saw the clip of them playing like a couple of seven-year-old boys on the bench in the preseason, just laughing and giggling and kicking their legs all over the place. But, you know, as I mentioned, Njoku averaged 93 yards a game with Bro Flacco. So I'm not that worried about Harold Fannin for that 61.5 reception prop. I'm still going over there. But you like Flacco to do something unusual, to say the least, or shocking. So what do you have on Joe Flacco this year?
Yeah, so for smoking Joe Flacco, I know it's going to sound crazy, I have him to lead the league in passing yards. So I did place this wager on June 18th at plus 20,000 on DraftKings. It's now plus 15,000. Wow. So we're moving in the right direction. for a bet like this to hit, you know, you have to find a team that Vegas is basically completely wrong about. And that team for me is the Cleveland Browns. I asked Tom Brawley on NFL Best Bets, basically, like, if you knew Joe Flacco today was going to start 16 or 17 games, you know, what should this line be? And he thought it should be around plus 2,000, plus 3,000. At the time, that was a big ask to think Joe Flacco could start that many games. It's still a pretty big ask. But the news has gotten better since mid-June. Kenny Pickett's gone. I never believed that had a possibility to be a thing. I definitely I like Dylan Gabriel. We talked to him at the Super Bowl, at the Senior Bowl. No faith there that he's going to be able to play in the NFL. So I just wasn't a big believer in these rookies, and I thought it has to be Joe. I got a couple questions for you about Joe Flacco. Do you know who led the league in passing yards per game in 2023 with the Cleveland Browns? It was Joe Flacco.
Let's go with Joe Flacco. What was that, like 5-6 games?
Yeah. Here's a kind of a tricky one. Do you know which team led the league in passing yards in 2023? It's not the Cleveland Browns. It's actually Guru's Minnesota Vikings. And you will remember that year, the quarterbacks were Nick Mullins, Josh Dobbs, etc. So true. I say that to say the passing yards leader is not like an MVP award, okay? You don't have to be the best quarterback in the NFL to win this award. There's no narratives at work. It's strictly a stat-based award. So that's why I like Joe Flacco. If you think this is a little bit too outlandish, but you like the data and like the process, other wagers to consider here, the Cleveland Browns win totals. Again, I just think this team is going to be better offensively. Kevin Stefanski is the man. I just don't believe that this is going to be a team that is that bad this season. So win totals over the wins, that's where I'd go with. And then Jerry Jeudy receiving touchdowns, they have him at 3.5. I got that at minus 110 in early June at BetMGM. Yeah. Still minus 115. He's got to go over that number. He could go over that number pretty quickly. I could see them getting him over that number by the bye. So, yeah, love Joe Flacco. Yeah. My catchphrase a little bit on the show is long shot for a reason. This is a long shot play, but there's a lot of value there. I mean, if he's going to continue to start, the basis is the Browns are going to actually win some football games, and that's why they're not going to go to any of the rookies this year. That's the reason they'll want to keep Joe Flacco in the mix, and when he does play, he lights it up.
Trey Camberling of the Best Bets podcast at fantasypoints.com on the line with us. And let's move on to Davante Adams. I'm backing him this year only because he is bound for Canton. Normally I'd be out on a 30-plus-year-old dude, but a little worried about Stafford and all that. But you are not that worried. So what is your bold bet on Davante Adams?
Yeah, I'm a little more worried now than when I placed this wager, I do have to admit. But I did get Davante Adams plus 5,500 on June 25th to lead the league in receiving yards. That number you can still get on FanDuel. I'd like to kind of start this with a question for you, Guru. When you think of the 2024 New York Jets, what comes to mind? What's your feeling about that team?
That once Aaron Rodgers got Davante Adams, all he cared about was stat padding to Davante and throwing the ball to Davante. That's my recollection of the end.
That is a sharp take. And a lot of people think the Jets were just terrible last year. And the numbers, as far as the wide receivers are concerned, don't really bear that out. They had two top 20 wide receivers by yards. Garrett Wilson was wide receiver 14 with 1,104 yards. And Davante Adams was wide receiver 18 with 1,063 yards. So two wide receivers over 1,000 yards in a offense and a team that kind of was pitiful last year. So a healthy Matthew Stafford, which is a stretch at this point, we're hoping he can stay healthy, is a significant upgrade. We know this. Over the last 15 years, you'll like this, 20% of all players to lead the league in receiving yards were supported by Matthew Stafford. A couple Calvin Johnson seasons, that Cooper Kupp season, obviously. He is a fantasy cheat code. We've known this for a long time about Matthew Stafford. Naturally, the normal person, I would say, would point towards Puka Nacua for this, who's plus 1,200 on FanDuel. Right. But here's the reason we're going with Davante Adams. Off rip, I believe, and this is a little bit arbitrary, but the odds that Davante Adams is a better player still than Puka Nacua are probably, I would call it 60-40 in Puka Nakua's favor. So without factoring in anything else, Adams is a good enough player. Like you said, Canton bound, he might just be better than Puka Nacua. I'm going to lean Puka Nacua in that debate, but it's certainly in the realm of possibilities. It's not a zero. What's not arbitrary is the amount of time that Puka Nacua missed due to injury. So last year he missed five games with a knee sprain, injured, missed eight games over his college career. This is a physical player. Okay. This is a hard nosed wide receiver, and we love to watch it, but that, his style of play can take a toll, you know, and Davante Adams, you know, from a yards perspective, fantasy football perspective, he's still that guy. Last year, you know, he had a game in December where he had 198 receiving yards. Past his prime. And if Puka were to miss any time, I don't think it's a stretch that during the time that Puka is missing, that Adams could be the overall wide receiver one in fantasy football. And in order to do that, you obviously need to be stacking the yards and the touchdowns. So I know it's bold. I know it's bold to say that he could, you know, surpass Ja'Marr Chase as a fantasy receiver. But if Puka Nacua does miss time and we get a healthier version of T. Higgins this year, I think Davante Adams could kind of fill that role.
And Stafford, by the way, targets outside wide receivers at an absurd rate of like 77%. Well, we're up against it already, Trey. Time flies here. Big story of the week is Micah Parsons. But you, counterintuitively, were down on, or are still are down on, a Dak Prescott to win the NFL MVP. So talk about that in 45 seconds.
Yeah, I'll keep it short. I placed this in May, plus 4,500 on FanDuel. It's now plus 4,000. It's kind of a dumb statement, but Micah Parsons' departure, it makes it easier and it makes it more difficult. Why? Per Bill Barnwell, over the last 4 years, the Cowboys are the league's best defense by EPA per play with Parsons on the field, and they're the second worst without. So why is it good? It means the Cowboys will be giving up more points, and which means Dak will be able to accumulate the stats. Why is it bad? It means the Cowboys will have a hell of a time winning football games, which obviously you do need, like we talked about earlier in the MVP discussion, to get that done. So the easy case, the Commanders, they're an old squad. Bobby Wagner, 35 years old, the heart and soul of that defense. If he misses any time, the Commanders will be up against it, and then they just have to beat the Eagles. And if they could somehow win this division, maybe a Super Bowl hangover for the Eagles, all they have to do is win this division. If they win this division, Dak Prescott will have done enough to win the MVP. Might be a clean sweep.
Great stuff, Trey. Thanks a lot for the time. At Trey Camberling on the X Machine over at fantasypoints.com, the Best Bets podcast. VSiN's exclusive betting splits cut through the noise, pulling real-time data straight from Circa and DraftKings sportsbooks. Circa caters to sharp bettors and big wagers, while DraftKings reflects a broader public market, giving you a unique look at both sides of the action. Track the percentage of bets and handle. Start your edge today for just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Final segment forthcoming.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final segment on a Friday. Happy Labor Day weekend. Hopefully your weekend isn't too laborious. I am John Hansen. Final segment here, back on Monday, getting ready for week one. Very, very exciting. We've got actual propage in less than a week. 1 week from today, we will have a record. Wins and losses coming out of Thursday night football. So very excited about that, and very excited for the most important weekend in the history of fantasy football. And that's not hyperbole, because my contention for a long time, and yes, this has been a running joke of mine for over two decades, but fantasy football is constantly growing and evolving. So every year it's the most important year in the history of fantasy. And this is the draft weekend of choice, if you will. It's when you should be doing your drafting. Hang out, barbecue, drink some adult beverages, and draft fake football teams. That's what I say, and that's actually what I'll be doing this weekend, because I believe I'm getting rain here in the southeastern portion of the country. So going to be a kind of a washout weekend, not a tragedy, because we love wagering and analyzing football players and good stuff like tight end sleepers and targets. And let's get into them, because I'm going big here right at the top with Brock Bowers, who is a transcendent talent who comes around, I don't know, maybe once a lifetime, quite frankly. 2.11 yards per route run. That was fifth among 52 qualified tight ends, sixth in first downs per route run. You know, 153 targets by a rookie was the fifth most of any rookie receiver, which is absolutely absurd. We are projecting over at fantasypoints.com a massive 25% target share, and we get an upgrade at quarterback with Geno Smith. Next up, my guy, TJ Hockenson. I know in theory we could argue that the addition of Adam Thielen hurts him. Certainly, it's not great for the volume, red zone looks. I kind of think it's a wash, just because I think the offense will be better. Maybe Thielen helps them move the sticks to create another set of downs to get more fantasy points, basically. And maybe they just light it up and score a boatload of touchdowns. I still like Thielen or Hockenson quite a bit. Good vibes with JJ in camp, by the way, and the fact that Justin Jefferson, you know, missed a majority of the training camp and all that does not hurt, but I still like Hockenson. I wonder if he's had his career year yet. You know, that's the thing. I thought he was an absolute stud coming out of school. I mean, I was like, forget it. He's kind of, you know, underwhelmed a little bit, but certainly he's been very good. Next up here, big week for Travis Kelce, but seriously, I think he's a decent pick at tight end six in like sixth round, you know, 68 overall, something like that. He only had a 2.3% touchdown rate last year. Going into the year, the career rate with Mahomes was 6.2%. So we are due. And it's probably going to happen because of the Rashee Rice suspension. He's out for six games, and they do a lot of the same things, you know, finding the voids underneath in the zone coverage and being available for Mahomes. So, you know, one of the reasons Rashee Rice was absolutely piling up the digits last year before he left the lineup was because he was filling that Kelce role, essentially. So no Rashee Rice, I think, bodes fairly well for Kelce. I mean, I'm not expecting the world here. We are going to get some touch. We are going to need touchdowns to really come through. But yeah, I think we're going to get the tutties. We're also going to get the tutties, I believe, with Mark Andrews, who led all of football with 11 scores for a tight end last year. I'm not sure we're going to get to 11, but I think the price tag's very reasonable. In fact, you know, him and Kelce are kind of the same pick, basically, or sixth, seventh round. As I mentioned before, his average separation score was elite at tight end. The last 2 years, number one at tight end. And that is the best way to know whether or not your guy has still got it. And, you know, he is pushing 30. He's had some injuries. I know it's low octane, but I think part of that is Lamar and this really good offense working off of Derrick Henry, play action, things like that. That's how his separation score, I think, is so good, because he's kind of wide open a lot. And Lamar trusts him, you know, completely. And, you know, that's a real thing, the trust between the quarterback and the tight end and Lamar and Mark Andrews. So let's not forget about that on draft day this weekend and beyond. Tyler Warren is, man, is he is looking good. I'm into him. I know there's only one ball and it's Daniel Jones and Indy, but he does tend to gravitate toward inside receivers. We could talk Evan Ingram. We could talk Sterling Shepard. We could talk Wandell Robinson over for the Giants. And then hopefully next up would be Tyler Warren, who he did hit on a downfield ball for 25 yards in their last showing in the preseason. It was, you know, pretty nice play. I also like Brenton Strange, love Strange, tight end 22. He's sneakily going to get a lot of targets. I have been ranking him way over his ADP all summer. I mean, way over, like 60 spots over. He's tight end 21, so I'm not that high. I think I have him tight end 18, something like that. But overall, he's not a bad pick if you're looking for a dirt cheap option there. He's had a good camp from all accounts. I like the offense. I think, you know, Travis Hunter is going to take a minute here. Lawrence, he throws to tight ends. Liam Cohen kind of coaxed a pretty good year out of Cade Otton last year. I think he's going to get a haul out of those high percentage throws in the short to intermediate area from Trevor Lawrence. We saw a couple of signs of that in the preseason. And Brenton Strange is actually a pretty good run after the catch. Now, a couple of deep sleepers here. I mean, you may not even draft these guys, but I'm just going to go on the record because I love Elijah Arroyo out of the U. When in doubt, you back Miami tight ends, quite frankly. And I watched this kid practice for a week in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. Unbelievable. I was so impressed 3 years earlier with Trey McBride, and I said that on SiriusXM over and over again, but I think I was a little bit more impressed by Elijah Arroyo than McBride, at least in terms of how he moved and got open as like a big wideout out there. And I know he's going to be playing in a lot of 12 personnel with A.J. Barner. Barner, though, is a way better blocker, so maybe Elijah Arroyo can be like a big slot. And a similar player is Theo Johnson. I get it on one hand, you know, he's Theo Johnson, so let's not give him much love, but his ADP is like infinity. No one cares, but I think he'll be the third option in the passing game. Doesn't hurt that they let Greg Dulcich go. I think he's still ascending is Theo, and we're going to get better quarterback play between Russell Wilson and Jackson Dart. Well, that is a look at my tight end draft plan and the targets. Well, the plan, by the way, just to reiterate real quick, I want to get it in the tight end business. I really do. I would say 75% of me wants to get one of the top five tight ends, whether that's Bowers or on the expensive end or Hockenson on the cheap end. Now, it's not a deal breaker if I don't, but that's what I want. That's my plan of action. If I don't get those studs, Bowers or Hockenson, I'm going to default to Tyler Warren or the two aging veterans. It is time now to pop out a best bet that is somewhat topical here. I'll do it right now. It's brought to you by GBank. GBank is built with sports bettors in mind, and right now you can earn a $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is open with the GBank Visa Signature Card. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3 to 5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. A reminder to stay tuned to VSiN right after we start off with Prop Points. It's Money Moves with Ariel Epstein and Keith Azari at 2 p.m. Eastern on today's show. Stormy Bonatani gives her college football plays, and Zach Cohen has a sharp tennis betting angle. It's Follow the Money after that with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. Then it is VSiN Prime Time with Matt Humans and Will Hill at 7 p.m. Eastern. Okay, my best bet, and I made this play on Monday, and the odds are even better now for my Minnesota Vikings. Not a homer pick because I've been actually ripping them for multiple decades, but this year I'm in. My Minnesota Vikings still Micah Parsons and all going to win the NFC North at plus 350. Best quarterback that they've drafted in a half a century. Best offensive line they've had in a decade. One of the best defensive lines in football. A defensive coordinator who can dial up some intimidating game plans. It's all there for my Minnesota Vikings, so I like it still. Plus 350. That is a wrap. We thank Michael Cohen for producing the program. We thank you for tuning in. Enjoy that Labor Day weekend. We'll catch you on Monday.